Hey, everybody, before we get you into this episode of Our Kids Play Hockey, we want to give a big shout out to our title sponsor, NHL Sense Arena, who were recently given access to the Meta Store. That has been something they have been trying to achieve for a long time. And right now, in your VR headset, if you go to the Meta Store, guess what's there? NHL Sense Arena. You no longer have to go to their website to download the game. We've said it many times on this show. We love what Sense Arena is able to provide for you, the listener, to your young hockey player in a VR way to experience the game like never before. And as you can imagine, now that they're on the Meta Store, things have changed a little bit. We are now offering 10% off an annual plan of NHL Sense Arena when you use the code, and you might want to write this one down, HNS-72A36D. Leave it to Facebook for an ad like that, HNS-72A36D, and that'll get you 10% off your annual plan of NHL Sense Arena on the Meta Store. But without any further ado, let's dive into this episode of Our Kids Play Hockey right now. Hello, hockey friends and families around the world, and welcome to another edition of Our Kids Play Hockey, powered by NHL Sense Arena. This is going to be one of those shorter episodes. It is time. We are in late April when I'm recording this. It's probably May when it's being released, to do a season in review. Now, before I dive into my season in review, I do this for a lot of reasons. One is I like to share my learnings, my findings, my mishaps from a season, and the purpose of just sharing and hopefully educating and learning from you. But I also want to give you the opportunity to share your thoughts on your season. You can email them over to team@ourkidsplayhockey.com. Also, check out our social pages, Our Kids Play Hockey. On Facebook, we have a group that's very popular right now. But I'll put a post in there asking you to share your wins, your losses, or anything you want to share about your hockey season, because I think it's really important as a hockey community that we share our experiences, both to make sure that we understand that a lot of us are going through the same stresses, and it's important to know as a parent and as a player and as a coach that you're not alone in some of the stresses that youth hockey brings, but also to learn from each other. If we don't effectively communicate the things that we're seeing or doing, it tends to stay within us or in our little groups or in our little circles. And I think one of the ways to make hockey a better place is to make sure that we're all communicating through this podcast or through other podcasts or any way possible to get that information. So let me set the stage for the 23-24 season for my kids. My daughter, Alina, who is 7 years old, entered her first year into Mite hockey. And my son, Logan, who is 10, entered his first year of Squirt hockey. So we had two new experiences for both kids this year. It was also my son's first year as a goalie, somewhat full-time. So that paints the picture, right? He's out of Mite. He's playing full ice now. He's playing with rules. He's playing with scores. He is a goalie on the team. He played defense half the other time. And then because that wasn't enough, we decided to let the kids play for their elementary school league as well. Now, one of the cool things about the elementary school league, and I'm going to talk about all these throughout this episode, is that this is going to be the only year, most likely, that my son and daughter will ever be able to play on the same team. So the way the elementary school works here, the league works here in PA, is that it is first through fourth grade. My daughter is in first grade. My son is in fourth grade. And then fifth through eighth grade is middle school. And then obviously 9 through 12 is high school. So unless somehow they're both still playing hockey, my son's senior year, and they both make the same team, outside little tournament teams and fun teams, this is it. This is the only time they're ever going to get to play together. And of course, I volunteered to be an assistant coach on that team because God knows I need more things to do. But no, I served as an assistant coach on that elementary school team. I served then as assistant coach on my daughter's Mite team. I chose not to serve as an assistant coach on my son's squirt team this season. All right, I wanted to allow him to have some space away from me, but also with other coaches and get some other experience just to see how that would go, right? I think that's the first lesson of this episode, is that if you're a coach, I think it's okay sometimes to step away if the situation presents itself that way, right? There were three coaches on that team already. They did not need my help. I did not need to volunteer to do it. And I thought it was a good experience for my son to have, again, a little space away from me, which I also will fully admit, I think is something we should all do as parents sometimes in these team environments, right? I want to be involved with everything that my kids do, but I also respect that sometimes we need space from each other, even if it's not something that's said. Sometimes it's important just to give the space so he can, again, experience other leaders, other coaches, and other situations. But let's rewind back and start with my daughter, who made I'll say an entry-level Mite team this season. Before the season, this is a funny story. There was actually talk of maybe she should go back to the Adams program, which is kind of our learn to play program here in Pennsylvania. And there was a funny moment where I was talking with the coach of that program, and he's also a Mike coach. And I kind of came to the conclusion, like, she could probably use another year in Adams. And then my daughter came up to me because some of her friends were moving up to Mike. And she said, and I had not thought of this for some reason. She said, "Dad, can't you just teach me the stuff I need to know to be a Mike?" And I kind of looked her in the eye and I said, "You know what, Alina, I can," because you asked. And what needed to be improved upon at that time was her skating. So you might be asking yourself, well, what did you do? What did you do for your kid to teach her how to skate? This might surprise some of you. We didn't do any power skating clinics. We didn't do any plyometric exercises off the ice. We went to public session at the Skadium, which is our local rink, 1 to 2 times a week. I put her on her skates. I put my son in his skates and I let him chase each other around. And she got very good at skating very quickly with that creative environment, right? And I would jump on the ice with them. We would make funny videos. My lesson here, my thought here, we had a good time just being on the ice together. Those videos were very funny. I cherish them. She was smiling. She was happy. And in chasing her older brother around or chasing me around, she naturally discovered a stride and a way to skate. Now, I did give a little instruction when she asked, but largely, I did not say a word. We were going there for the hot chocolates. We were going there for the fun, the music. It was in the summer. We were going there to cool off a lot of the days, and we had a really good time. So when the season rolled around, she not only was skating well, in my opinion, and the coach's opinion, she was one of the better skaters skating only on the team. So it goes to show you that when you inject a little fun into the environment, a lot of things can happen. Now, again, stick handling, vision on the ice, these were all things that needed to be developed on the team that year. And as an assistant on that team, my main goal is always to enable the head coach of that team and to work with those kids to really make it fun. And we accomplished that. The talent on the team was very beginner. I don't think we won more than 2 or 3 games this season. But I remember I turned to the head coach early on in the season, because this is not my third year in the Mike kind of age group, which is, again, 8U. And I said, look, as long as they're all proficiently skating by the end of the season and they have some basic ability to stick handle, pass, and shoot, doesn't have to be great, we've succeeded. That was the goal at that level. And I think that's always an important thing when I look back at Mike hockey from the first year with my son to now. You know, I've evolved in that sense of really understanding what the goal here is, right? You can get lost in the wins and losses if you're not careful. And look, winning is a lot of fun, but you know, it's fun playing hockey. And the kids had a lot of fun playing hockey and they became really good friends. And, you know, we went to the tournaments, sometimes not winning a game, but the time we spent together was really fun. And, you know, my goal as a coach, especially in youth hockey, is to never be a kid's last coach, right? And I'm not going to lie to you. There's a few kids that decided not to play next season. Now, I was assured by the parents it's not because of the coaching, right? That's kind of the way you have to look at it. It was just, you know, they're not taking to the sport, and that's okay. There's other sports that they want to play, but that's the gauge for me, right? And it's okay that they're not coming back, but I always look at things like that too, and I try and analyze myself. And again, I'm thankful to the parents for saying something, but did I do something wrong? Did I not provide an experience for these kids that was fun for them? Again, simply wasn't the case, but it was a long season for them, but they all learned. A lot of them are coming back for next season for another year of Mite. Some of them have moved up to Squirt, believe it or not. And, you know, you love those kids. You love to play with those kids. And quick memories from that season. You know, I saw a young girl named Avery really, really struggle with the game the first half of the season and then broke out and got a hat trick in one game. The love for the game, you know, showed up on her face. And then other kids, too, that could barely skate before the season and now that they're flying all over the ice. You know, my daughter really took to the position of defense and really understands on how to protect the goalie and loves to protect the goalie. I'm sure her brother being a goalie plays into that. So that was a developmental team and I really enjoyed it. And, you know, my final thoughts on that team, I'm going to move on to some of the more exciting stuff that happened this season too, is I was amazed at how much less anxiety I had this season coaching Mike, just because it's my third season doing it. I remember the first season, it's really kind of high strung looking back at it now. I didn't think I was at the time, but it's a lot of anxiety. There was a lot of let's do this right, kind of let's get on target. And I've just learned how to enjoy Mite hockey and enjoy it for what it is. And it's a sandbox in a lot of ways. It's a hockey sandbox, and you just got to let the kids experience the game, learn the game. And as coaches, we got to teach them basic skills. And that's my message to you parents too, is I hear some crazy things from parents about expectations or where their kids should be even 10 years from now in might. And I think it's a mistake. I got to be honest with you. I'm going to reiterate what I just said. This is a hockey sandbox at that age. You need to cultivate a love of the game for your kid at this age. If your kid is showing great skills and great promise, that's wonderful. If your kid's not, that's also wonderful. And it's okay if your kid is not taking to the talent of the game, but loves the game. It will cultivate into talent at some point. We always give the metaphor, especially on this show, that, you know, you learn to walk. We're very patient when our kids are learning to walk. Everyone does it at their own pace or learning to speak. Hockey works the same way. I didn't start playing hockey until I was 12 and I had a wonderful career in the game, right? So as long as you love the game, it's a sandbox. Let them play in the sandbox and make sure the coaches are making it a fun sandbox to play in. So moving on now to the squirt team before I get to the big story at the end of the school team, because that's a really fun story to tell. This was my son's first year really as the goalie, right? The team had two goalies, but he and her shared time in the net. And it was really fun coming into this year because Logan, again, my son, had a drive suddenly that wasn't there in years prior, in the sense of really wanting to go to practice and really wanting to get better and really wanting to work on his game and find the little things with goaltender that he can get better at. I give a shout out to my organization that he's in, the Haverford Hawks, for bringing in outside goaltending help. And one of our guests, actually, the goalie doctor, Matt Tendler and Mitch, who would come out to practices often to work with all the goaltenders in the club. And I think that instruction really benefited him this season because you could see him evolve from the beginning of the season to the end of the season into really becoming a solid goalie, right? Long way to go in terms of like a career. And again, we're not thinking that way at all, but you can see the advancement. Now, the other cool thing about Logan is that when he skated out, he played defense. Prior to this season, I would say that you know, Logan did a great job, but he was always struggling a little bit kind of positionally and trying to find the game. You know, he was not a big scorer on any of his might teams, but playing goaltender has really bolstered his ability to play defense. And you can see how the two positions, have played off each other. That obviously in net, you have to work on your edges. You have to work on your angles. You have to work on tracking the game. You have to watch the game. And that has completely paid off as him as a defenseman. He sees that aspect of the ice. And not to mention, he understands how to play the puck now for the goaltender, right? So really advanced this season. I'm very proud of him. He put in the time, he put in the work, and he really became, you know, one of the better defensemen and a goalie on his team that succeeded. Now, that team as a whole, I would say the season was a little bit of a disappointment. They started out with a lot of potential, but as the season went on, I don't think that they were evolving enough to get better. They made the playoffs, but, you know, had kind of an early exit. But the kids had fun from everything that I was told. The kids understood that, you know, sometimes not every season's going to be a winner and sometimes not every season's going to end up the way you want it to. I remind kids all the time, look, there's only one champion typically, right? Now, you might get multiple opportunities to win a championship in tournaments. You might get ultimate opportunities to win at the end of the season, but only one team wins, right? It's usually not in anyone's favor. So I think there was a lot of lessons learned on that front this year of the frustration of having a lead and losing it and the adversity that you face as a hockey player. The highlight for that team this year for me was getting to go to Lake Placid with the team. I remember earlier in the season, they had gave us some tournament locations. And I said, look, I want to go to Lake Placid. I love Lake Placid. I did Can-Am as a kid. We went up there. We didn't win one game. We didn't win one game. But this is where the story gets kind of cool. They struggled against some of the competition, but the kids were bonding. You could see them having a good time. You know, we went out into the speed skating rink one day and skated around there. It was a winter wonderland. But in the final game, I will just say that they were playing against a team that probably should have been at a higher level. All right. We've all been in that situation and we hadn't won a game and we go into this situation and, you know, you're probably not going to win this game. And I talked to Logan before that game because I knew he would be in the net. And we told him this, you know how this game is going to go. So it's on you mentally and your team mentally to make sure that no matter what the score is, you can look this other team in the eye and they will know that you are not giving up. You will not stop no matter what. I will say this. They didn't win the game. They played one of the best games, if not the best game they played all season. They were in the game for most of the game. I was immensely proud of them. And then what's cool afterwards, and this is going to be a little bit of a team brag, right? Was that the other team we were playing was clearly put together for the tournament. They were not a youth hockey organization. They were a select team. I'm going to say it again. They probably should have committed to a higher division because they routed everybody. But you could tell a lot of the parents on that team didn't know their kids. I'm sorry, didn't know the other kids. It was just a team that was put together. And after the game, we lined the hallways outside the locker room, and we basically gave these kids a standing ovation as each one of them walked out. And the smiles on their faces, you would never have known we lost the game as bad as we did, right? I can't remember the final score right now. Again, it was close for a while, but it wasn't close at the end. You never would have known. It looked like we had won a championship. And the other team's parents and kids kind of had to walk through that. Not that I'm gloating about that, but it shows you that this game is about more than just winning at times, right? And I had said at that time, look, we won that game without winning. Look at the kids. Look how happy they are. And we got to leave, even though we didn't win, on a high note. That's a cool story to tell. That's why I wanted to share it, right? You know, the kids were not happy they lost, but the support from the parents and us as a parent group and the coaches meant everything to them. We stood by you. You worked hard. You did what we asked. You never quit. That's a bigger win than winning the game, okay? I am all for sharing those types of lessons in these games. So, again, that team season ended up, just kind of, I would say, above par, right? I mean, they made the playoffs. Didn't win a game in the playoffs. But it was a great learning experience for my son. I we get these evaluation forms at the end of the season. They ask you a lot of questions about the coaches. And look, coaches on this team were volunteer coaches, all three of them. They showed up to every practice, every game, right? I always remind parents that, you know, it's easy to be critical of coaches, but I take a step back. These are volunteer parents. They were always there. And then I said this in my evaluation. I said, look, my son loves to play goalie. He loves to play defense. He loves to play hockey. He wants to come back next season. And he, in my opinion, I can only speak for my own son, is a better hockey player now than he was at the beginning of the season. Just trying to keep it in character, right? Again, sometimes you do evals at the end of the season. You don't win the last five or six games. It can be a rough eval. You win a championship, it's going to be a great eval. I just try and keep these things pretty even-keeled and realistic. Now, moving on to the my favorite story of the season, the Haverford Fords, that really is their name, elementary school team. So Logan and my daughter Lena were both on this team. We had thought Logan would start as a goalie on this team. Team had two very good goalies along, like with my son. He was one, and our goalie Alex was the other one. And it became apparent pretty quickly that I would say Alex had a slight edge on Logan in net, but you know they're pretty comparable. But that Logan was succeeding at defense so much that it was actually more valuable to us as a team to have him out of the net and playing defense. So I remember going to him and asking him, like, hey, look, how would you feel about just playing D on this team? And I wasn't sure how we'd react. He's like, yes, I want to do that. So we started going full-time with Logan on D, Alex in net. And this is really cool. Logan's defensive partner, or I should say maybe my daughter's defensive partner, was my son and my daughter. So Alina and Logan were D partners on the team, and guess who was coaching the D? So now I'm in this really special situation where I'm coaching my son and my daughter on a defensive line together. And that does not take away from any of the other defensemen on this team, right? They were all wonderful to coach. And we started out the season, and we got on the ice for tryouts. I got to go back a little bit here. And six of the kids couldn't skate. I mean, really could not skate. So I took a step back, and I went to the head coach, and I said, look, this is what I think we should do for this season. I think the first five or six practices, let's split up literally between the kids who can skate and the kids who can't skate. Let me get these kids moving, right? So for 6 weeks, I worked with, I'll just say the beginner kids on the team. And most of them were a little bit older, like, you know, third, fourth grade. And they started taking to my drills very quickly. We got them moving, right? We got them to a point they could start, stop, turn, go backwards. And about week five or six, we started incorporating them, everybody, into the same practice again. Now, our record at that time was about 500. But we had played every team. And I remember saying, as a team builder, as a culture builder, look, if we can time the development of this team right, I really said this, like week seven or eight, I think we can win this thing. I really think we can take on these top teams in our division and win this thing. And so it goes. We started doing team building after every practice on Friday, or I should say most practices. By team building, I mean, I would take the team upstairs and I would do off-ice drills that would force them to be in a group, right? Little challenges that I do in my culture work and my team building work that I do with businesses and teams all over the country. So we started doing that. And you could see the kids starting to bond. And I always love it because when we first do team building, I get a lot of eye rolls from parents and kids. Like, do we have to do this? I said, yes, you have to do it. And they come upstairs and within one or two sessions, are we doing team building today? So the kids love it. The team loves it. And you could see about three quarters through the season, things started turning in the games. We were not only in every single game, but we were winning a lot of games, right? So we head towards the playoffs. I got my son and my daughter on the line together. The team is winning. And you can see it is clicking, right? and the top team in the league, we played them, I think, the second to last game at the end of the season. We lost by one goal. And that team is very, very talented. And I was really excited about this because you can start to see now the pattern of the team and the methodology needed to I'll just say, defeat the other team, right? The tactics. So we go into the playoffs. And the way the playoffs work here in this league is it's a two-game elimination. I got to quickly explain that for you at home because I had never seen anything like this. Basically, you lose two games, you're out of the playoffs. So teams are eliminated as they play. And then the final happens is whoever has not lost two games wins the championship, right? Because everyone's got to lose two. So we go into the first game. I believe we won 3-0. Team is surging. They're looking great. We go into our second game against the top team in the league, right? Now, again, you need two losses to be knocked out. And when we get into this game, we had both won one game. We defeated them in a really amazing team effort, right? And it was their first loss of the playoffs. So they're not eliminated yet. So we could see these guys again. But man, was I proud of our team. We had a system in place. We had tactics in place. But the key was this. We are not more talented than that other team. We were not. But we played as a team better than the other team. And that's what we told these kids in the locker room, all of them. If you play as a team, the best team will win because you have comparable talents, even though you're not as talented. And from the kids who couldn't skate at the beginning of the season and the kids who could skate at the start of the season, complete team effort, complete belief in each other. It was beautiful. Now, we have to keep moving on in the playoffs. this is where it gets really interesting. we had to play that team, I think, three times in a row, right? Because all the other teams were getting eliminated, and it really became a best of three series. And in the second game, we played against them. Our top scorer could not make the game. We lost that game. in a way that was setting up this last game of a three-game series on a Sunday afternoon. Both teams showed up. I'll keep the story very short. It was a fantastic game. It went to overtime. We won the game in overtime. And one of our first graders got the game-winning goal in overtime. And I'll tell you what, I remember during this game, you know, believe it or not, I'm usually pretty calm on the bench, especially in those big kind of championship moments. You know, I've been blessed to have been in a lot of them. I just kind of know how to keep myself normal. But I was very anxious. I was very tired. And I was on the bench. And I remember thinking, man, I really want to win this game. Believe it or not, I always want to win, but I don't always have that, I gotta win this. It's more of a let's do the right things to the habits to win. And I'm realizing I want to win this because I want to win with my son and my daughter because it's in the back of my head. This might never happen again. And I thought before the game too and during the game, like, look, broadly, no matter what happens, this season was a win, right? I know I told you that we won already, but I remember thinking on the bench, should we not emerge victorious here? Season's still a win, right? I got to coach with my son and daughter. You know, they love the game. They're playing well together. My daughter, first grader, playing against fourth graders, fearless out there. Fearless, right? With no problem going right out of fourth grader trying to steal the puck. And she worked well with my son. She would kind of disrupt the play and he would take the puck down the ice and move it up to the offense. It was really fun to watch. I mean, as a dad, I mean, a couple times this season I would be out there. I'm looking at a picture of them right now, actually in their jerseys. It's funny as I'm talking to you. But I'd be out there and I'd see my name on their back. It's their name too. I'm like, those are my kids. It was surreal, right? Seeing two Eliases out there on the ice at the same time with me on the bench. But it was a win no matter what, but I'll say the championship, and we'll share a picture, or maybe share some of the video at the moment for those of you watching the show. That was the cherry on top, just getting the championship and getting to take the pictures with both of them and kind of put our medals in our mouth. And it's a beautiful moment with my children. And that was the win, is those beautiful moments with my children on the ice. The championship, I'm going to say, it was a cherry on top. The win is the cherry on top. The real win was that time of the three of us together enjoying the most beautiful game in the world. And the looks on the bench of love, whether we won or lost, excuse me, or working with the team as a whole, and that you know, the understanding that we love each other as a family. That's what I'm going to remember from this season, along with the championship. I'm not gonna lie about that. But man, what a cool experience for me as a dad, but hopefully them as kids as well. I also want to give a shout out to our coaches, and there were many this year, but the bench coaches, Coach Lauren, head coach, who I have a lot of respect for. Lauren is 27 years old, just got engaged, played hockey at a very high level. But it's not easy to be a 27-year-old female hockey coach. And I took a lot of pride that my daughter got to see her in the bench, on the bench running this team. Right. And I took a lot of pride in being her assistant coach and doing everything I could to support her this season. And then our other coach, Rich Temple, who ran the offense this year, whose son's also on the team. The three of us really came together. And again, this is not excluding any of the other coaches on the team who were involved. But we really understood that, look, we want to win this thing. We believe we can win this thing. And we committed to the development of these kids. We had conversations weekly about our practices and the development of this team. It really proves again, my friends, and this is really my passion and my work, that a bonded team will beat a group of individuals. And I'm not saying that the team we beat in the final was a group of individuals. Those are kids. They really love each other, and they're very talented. But we focus so much on that bond and that experience of playing for the kid and the person next to you. And we coached that way too. We helped each other through the entire season, and we emerged victorious. And I think that is such an important thing to instill in your teams, because it goes beyond hockey. And I tell the kids in the locker room, and again, those of you listening, you know I do this team building work professionally. You got to create great people if you want to create great players. And I took so much pride in all of these athletes this season on all three teams that I spoke about, that a lot of them still come to me, whether I'm coaching them or not, and say, hey, Coach Lee, can you help me with this situation? Maybe it's tactical. Maybe it's a skills question. But I also get a lot of questions about, you know, my teammates making fun of me and I don't know how to handle it. And I always appreciate when they come to me about that, because they want to grow. They want to get better. And I don't think that they're complaining, right? I think that they're having 10-year-old problems or 7-year-old problems. And they have a right to those problems. But yeah, look, it was an interesting season where I'd say both of my kids' clubs teams didn't do what they wanted to do from a win-loss standpoint, but they evolved. And then again, this elementary school team. I get a bunch of pictures of this. I'm looking at them right now. Just a special moment for me as a dad. And again, that's the rub. That's what I always say, my friends. Like, the experience, the memories, the journey is so important. The journey to that championship with the Fords team was a beautiful journey. And I was present with it and I enjoyed it. And I want to remind all of you, this kind of as I head towards the close here, you got to respect and love the journey every season. It's so easy to get lost in the outcomes or the eventualities or where you might want your kid to be in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. Don't get lost in that. Live in the moment with your kids in these journeys and experience it with them. Fun part, y'all know this, we get to live through the kids a bit. We get to see it through their eyes. Don't get in the way of that. Let them experience it and then be by their side as an ally as they go through that time period. But don't sacrifice the journey for any outcome, right? The good, the bad, the in-between, the life lessons, the pain in the ass of getting them to pack their bags, all of it. Be present with it all, right? Because one day they won't need your help packing their bag, and one day they won't want you on the bench, right? I'm fully ready for a moment where my kids don't need me or want me on the bench, and I'm okay with that, right? So I take every second that I get to be out there with them as a gift. And I'm going to say it again, good or bad, not every moment is fun. All right. But the fact that I'm getting the moment with them is really what I value and cherish in this game. I think that goes well beyond hockey. It's not just hockey that I do that, obviously. But yeah, that's my season in review. Again, there's a lot of funny trinket stories, but we'll share those online again at Our Kids Play Hockey on Facebook. Make sure you check that group. Or if you want to just email me stuff, even if you don't want it to appear on the air, you just want to talk to someone, team@ourkidsplayhockey.com. Christy, Mike, and I usually answer those emails. But yeah, that's my season in review. And I already know what teams my kids are on for next season. We'll have to wait till the next season in review a year from now. I don't think anyone's going to be waiting for that episode. But fun times this year. Always nice to end the year with a championship. I will always cherish and remember the season I got to coach both of my kids on a team together. I want to give a shout out to the entire Haverford Forge team on their championship. They believed in the team. They believed in the power of teamwork. They believed in the power of working together towards a common goal, and they accomplished the goal in the face of the best talented team, the highest scoring team, and in face of everybody saying, you're not going to win that championship. They did it. So congratulations to all you kids. That's going to do it for my year in review, Youth Hockey Edition. Again, Lee Elias here with Our Kids Play Hockey. We will see you on the next episode. I hope that you had a wonderful season, and if you didn't, I hope you have a wonderful season coming up, enjoying these moments with your kids, because that's what it is all about, right? Our kids play hockey. All right, my friends, we'll see you in the next episode. Skate on. Take care. Have a great week. We'll